All right, ready to go.
Hi, my name's Alice. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Alice.
Hi, Alice.
Greetings. Thank you, Sabrina and Joan. I wasn't planning on coming to this meeting until I was sought as a backup player. And so I am hoping that the person who was to have occupied this chair is going to be feeling better soon. Anyway, I was thinking, Saturday night, what I would be doing before I found the fellowships was sitting on the floor in front of the TV with a deck of cards, with a glass, crystal glass of bourbon, and a bag of something crunchy. And then when that got boring, then I would get up off the floor. I've got great limber body. So I get up off the floor and go get something sweet. So, you know, that was the night. It's 2014 now, and I'm 62 years old. I came into this program, I think, around 1990. I weighed at that point, I think, around 140 pounds, and I weigh around 120. I realized the big book promise, no matter how far down the scale you've gone, you will see how your experience can benefit others. It doesn't mean weight, you know? It doesn't mean weight. I really honestly don't know how much my maximum weight was. I started eating compulsively as a junior in high school at a boarding school, very posh boarding school. But I went there at 112 pounds and I left at 120, and I swear by the end of the summer I was 150. And what I did, what I learned to do there was disappear. And the school where we ate, it wasn't a big cafeteria like this. There were many rooms. It was a salon with little rooms of eight, a table for eight or 10. And after everyone was done eating, I would go room to room to room, finish up whatever was there. No one could see me. No one could see me. So that is still one of my greatest skills. So people standing up here, no, sitting up here, in front of you tonight is making amends to myself for years, decades of disappearing, being a hell of a good student, being a marvelous daughter. But I wasn't a friend to myself because I didn't know myself. I was whoever you wanted me to be. When I went to that school, I had healthy coping mechanisms. A lot of them were creating things, sewing, cooking, walking. I love to walk. And in that school, it was sequestered, and I couldn't walk. The road that my house was on was, you know, like this narrow. So walking on it, I'd get run over. There was no sewing machine at that school. There was no coloring paper, you know. It was, these were young. Anyway, enough about the pity pot. But I had no way, I didn't know who I was without something to do with my hands. So it did this, and it never stopped. I was saying earlier to Jerry that I was thinking about step one. I wouldn't have come to my second meeting if I didn't know I was powerless. And I haven't left. I came to a different fellowship because I was focusing my life on how to fix other people. And one night, I remember this. I mean, it's gotten better over the years as I remember it. But I have a kitchen counter, you know, this big. And I know I wasn't actually doing this, but the image is great. I had food set up all along it, and I was sitting at the end of the counter just raking food into my mouth, you know? And I said, you know, I think they have a program for people who do this. And I walked into my second fellowship, and I was so embarrassed, because I thought already I could think my way out of anything. At some point, it was a hot day. I had binged, it was Saturday or Sunday, I had gone out and mowed my half acre behind my push mower. I was sweating, my heart was beating. I was lying on my bed, you know, dying. You know, the pain of your stomach is so full and your heart is working so hard and you're sweating from pores you didn't think you had. And I said, I bet there's a higher power who can do something about this. It sure as hell isn't me. And I made a decision to try and find that higher power. And for years, I thought it was the poof. You know, I wasn't doing God right because it was going to be poof, this miracle. And it wasn't working. And someone finally said, you know, you can have that doorknob. You can have those people in the meeting. And so I started revamping my higher power. Four. I just started following orders. When I really took step three and said, you know, I got it, this isn't working. Alice, you're smart, but it's just isn't working. So try something. Okay, I'll follow the steps. And then, of course, the terror of getting done with four, you got to find someone. And as a disappeared person, I didn't know anybody. So I had to find someone to turn that over to. And God bless her. She said, you know, she didn't say it this way, but it's a better story. You know, honey, your problem is that you've never showed up. Well, you see, I didn't know that. She said, you didn't do anything to anyone else. You've disappeared your whole life. And I was dumbfounded. After that fifth step, you know, people talk about burning bush experiences. Oh no, I just walked out of there saying, what the hell is she talking about disappearing? So six and seven for me, what are those defects? Shame. You're not good enough. And then I got to seven and it said, well, so what are they doing for you? Well, I realized that getting up on the piano when the deck is flooding, I don't, you know, that's not quite the image that's going. When the living room's flooding, you stand up on the piano. Good, you don't stand up on the piano when the living room's not flooding. So, in other words, Alice, you're not such a stinking piece of whatever. Pond scum was my favorite analogy. Because you're surviving, girl, you're surviving. That means I must be worth surviving. Okay, so where are we going here? I'm worth living. I'm not the center of the universe, and neither am I pond scum, but I am alive. The eighth step, again, as a disappeared person, I treated my brother really patronizingly. So getting willing to make amends to him wasn't a big deal. Thanks be to God, I called a man in program and I said, would you read this over? And he read it over. And I mean, this is just what eight and nine tell you to do, to check with someone before you open your mouth. And he said, you know, Alice, I think you're doing the same thing in the letter that you're trying to apologize for doing. I said, huh, I see your point. So thank you, let's try it again. But you know, he said it with love. I mean, that's the great thing about us in program. It may not come out perfectly, but if we're willing to hear, it comes out okay. I had stolen food when I'd lived with a cousin of mine. And I wrote down about 1995 or something, I did these first eights and nines to people. And I happened to be up in New England, and I called her and I said, you know, I ate a lot of stuff out of your refrigerator. And she said, oh. Okay, well, so, was it easy showing up for that? No, but I showed up. And I did, I'm a Myers-Briggs J. I like to check it off, man. So I checked off those people that I'd made a that I knew I had harmed. But it is so not about the people. Joan, 5 minutes. I don't believe it. I'm just getting warmed up. Okay. Two or three years ago, well, I didn't say that. I spent, of course, as a disappeared person, thanks be to God, I didn't marry anyone because they wouldn't have married me. They would have married some phantom. But I met a guy in program, and so we that's our language. We talk program all the time. What a joy. How lucky am I? Couple of years ago, well, we knew both of us as addicts, we couldn't be married without professional help. So we got good counseling. And one of the last sessions that I remember, again, I'm very good at being compassionate for other people. But and I could, she said, look at your husband as a little child and forgive him for this. No problem. Look at you as a 15-year-old trying to cope with this uncopeable situation. I should have known how to handle it. My parents did the best they could. Alice, feel compassion for yourself. Holy smokes. 3 years ago, I really had that meltdown about forgiving myself, about seeing that I had no way of coping. So for the last three years, I have been doing ninth step work with me. And I know it says in the books to do that, but how to forgive ourselves, those are such little words, but I was addicted to shame and humiliation with the food. That was a huge part of it. Praying for other people, that works. That's a promise. I don't have to go into that. Y'all know that. So our lives are changed, broken relationships mended. I wouldn't be sitting here if I wasn't beginning to have a relationship with myself. There's a lot of movements out there. The American civil rights awareness, the religious, the sexual, the suffragettes, the people who have stood up for freedom. And I wonder what I would have done, because all I cared about was getting that next bite. So 8 and 9, absolutely life changing. I mean, the woman from whose fridge I had stolen the food, eaten the food, I loved her. She loved me. We were cousins. And I hadn't spoken with her really since that. And I called her earlier this year, last year. And I didn't worry about calling her because I knew my side of the street was clean. If she still had crap with me, her thing. But at the end of the first call, it was, God, I love you. So good to hear you. If I hadn't done my step work back then, I'd still have all that sawdust in my log. So cleaned up the wreckage of the past, check. At peace with the world. Hell no, I'm not at peace with the world. Why would God be at peace with this world? This world is in chaos. So there is action and more action required. And coming to the meetings, the freedom to work this program because we choose to, not because someone is telling us this is the religion, this is the dogma we need to be better citizens. Man, that's awesome. We no longer need the crutch of excess food because we've found a new way that nourishes us. I was stunned the other day. I guess when I was in California over the holidays, my cousin said, I got a million cousins, so this is another one. Man, Alice, you are so nourishing. What? Again, for a disappeared person to be nourishing is not me. That is a power. God will know how to do that because I am just fodder. So I don't know if I've made sense, but I do know that the first of the AA promises that came true, I was standing in line at a coffee shop, and I had just a normal conversation with a person in line. And I realized, oh my God, before program, I would have, you know, flirted or ignored them or disappeared or whatever, but it was just sort of like a conversation. So I'm crazy about the promises. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.